Hi, I'm Laura Ott, and along with my dad Otto, we're the hosts of the Feel Good Hairdressing podcast. We are from Hair Ott, a family-run group of hairdressing salons and training academy based in the south of England. Our podcast is here to be your virtual salon companion. In it, we will be sharing our knowledge and experience to support you in this amazing industry. We will also be sharing our downfalls and mistakes in the hope that you avoid making them. Join us as we explore the world of the hairdressing team, giving you a behind-the-scenes look at the magic that happens beyond the chair. So, whether you're a seasoned hairdresser, salon owner, or new to the industry, this podcast is your VIP pass to the heart of the salon. In this episode, we're talking about consultant hairdressers. Get ready to uncover the secret of what makes a truly exceptional hairdresser, as well as the insider tips you won't find anywhere else. And there's no one better to talk about this with than my dad, Otto. I was thinking that possibly over your career that you have probably taught about 500-600 people how to be hairdressers.
Yeah, I think it was quite a lot. So when you think we are 48 years in business, we always did all our own education. We always, is this the right word, trained or educate our own designers? It was a lot. Probably more, maybe a little bit less. But yes, it was a lot.
So it definitely must be, it must be in the high hundreds.
Yeah.
So do you, after educating that many people, can you tell if somebody's going to be successful or not?
No. It really very much depends on the individual. But there are so many factors where maybe always comes into it. You can't have somebody very talented, or different circumstances leeways them.
Different circumstances what?
Will leeways them. You know, they maybe go to a different direction.
Oh, okay.
Or family circumstances, boyfriend circumstances.
Yeah.
There's so many different areas where it can go wrong.
Yeah.
Do you have somebody you think they find it very, very hard to grasp or be able to learn or understand the techniques, but with their passion and with their determination, they can do be very, very successful. So I think it's always a question of time and very much to how much support the individual has from his family or friends or people who support them.
So is passion something that can be taught, or is passion something that's inside somebody?
I would say passion is probably you have something inside it, but once you know why, what you're going to do and why you want to do it, it creates its own momentum and it creates its own passion.
So when you say why you want to do it, what do you mean exactly there? Do you mean like goal setting?
It is, yeah, a little bit. First, goal setting is, first you have to know why you're doing hairdressing. What is the outcome you want from it? What satisfaction you would like from it?
So what kind of things would that be?
First, we have to be quiet. We're talking a lot about passion, artistry, but let's go back. The most important thing, will it give you the income you require for your standard of life or standard of income you require?
Yeah.
This is the most important thing. Why, as I always say, if you have no money, the passion flies out the window.
Yeah.
So you have to make a goal first. How much money do you need or do you want to require for you to be able to earn, live the life you want to live?
Yeah. And where would you go from there? So then once you've got your monetary value,
yeah,
or your goal or what you want to achieve, how do you then make that goal a reality?
Then you look around yourself. Is this the right salon where you are?
Yeah.
Are you surrounded by the right people? To achieve your goal, it is you need people around you who support you, who have the same value and who have the same excitement. Most success comes in teams. Yes, you get the old genius who works in at home in their own garage on creating incredible things, invention. But most successes are done by teams.
Yeah.
And this is the people you should throw. Do you want to work with them? Do we share the same valley? And this is where we go from.
So what makes successful teams then?
I think successful teams is, first I would say the most important thing, having respect for each other.
Yeah.
Having respect for each other's values.
Yeah.
We don't always need to agree to meet each other. And I also always say we don't even have to be friends, but we have to have respect and we want the same outcome.
Yeah.
And we're prepared first to share our knowledge, and we have to prepare to accept other people's knowledge.
Yeah.
And once we'll be able to do this, I think you're invincible.
Yeah. So if a hairdresser, so there's a new hairdresser, they've completed their apprenticeship, they're a designer on the shop floor. So what you're really saying is that first of all, they need to kind of like identify where they want to go. So,
yeah.
So what their goals are.
Yeah.
If we're saying that technically, you know, they've got a high standard, what else can they do to be successful on the shop floor?
It's, again, really look at yourself, look around you, and you maybe have the people skills and you haven't got the technical ability, or as you said, you have the technical ability and you haven't got the people skills. So find the areas. First, I would say, don't just look for what you need really to work, improve. Look what you do really well. Make sure you sell this part of you very, very well. But at the same time, look at you. Where can you work to improve the areas, people skills, maybe different technical skills, and consistently improve yourself in this area? It doesn't need to be, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this. Give you a little time factor on just a little bit every day. Over a year is a tremendous amount of learning you did. And at the same time, to improve yourself, teach others.
Yeah. What would you teach others, though, if you're new to the shop floor yourself?
Oh, anything. Well, I think whatever, there's some areas in you, you do really, really well. And so what, you know, you have to find that. And you know what you do well, but this is the part you maybe do most. We're always sometimes frightened to do new things, or we don't do the, or when we haven't got this knowledge in. So what you do really well, teach somebody else.
Yeah. Let's go back to, so they're a new designer on the shop floor. Obviously at Hairot, one of the really important things for us is the consultation.
Yeah.
Why is a consultation so important?
It creates your own value. It can show the client who you really are, and it separates you from most salons or stylists, is to see yourself as, I would say, the best thing is as a consultant. When you go to a consultant, the first thing you do, he greets you, he stands up, he shakes your hand.
Yeah.
He shakes your hand, then he sits down with you, and is a face-to-face. It doesn't look you... If you go to the doctors, and I'm sorry if I insult any doctors, but most doctors look on their computer screen and ask you, well, what is wrong with you? I think the equivalent would be, you go to a salon and they speak to you through the mirror.
Yeah.
If you go to a consultant, he brings his chair around,
yeah,
and he actually looks at you and see and ask you the question he needs,
yeah,
to find for the results what you want.
So the first step then really is to introduce your client. So do you think a handshake is an important part of the hairdressing experience?
I think the handshake, I always say, is the equalizer. As you are young designers, you're probably 19, 20 years old. Our highest income clients, I would say, is probably as an average over 45 and higher. So you could...
45 in age.
45 in age, yeah. Yeah. So, and higher. And they're the people with the high income. But you have the contradiction then yourself. You look like the granddaughter. Well, they probably wouldn't trust to make them a cup of tea. But they ask you to give a complete transformation.
Yeah.
So there is a bridge to build of trust.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to build this bridge and actually show them with your behavior how brilliant you are.
Yeah.
You have to shine to the client.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And that's what you think a handshake does.
That's what a handshake does.
And then when you've sat down with the client, you're face to face, how do you start a consultation?
I think I was like, what Mia always say, there's different roads to it. I was like, first, the worst thing you always see is people touching somebody's hair. Yeah, I know it's a podcast and we can't actually demonstrate it, but next time you go out on the road and touch somebody's hair, and you probably get a smack on your nose. So it's not a pleasant experience.
No.
So you don't want to do this. I would say break the ice, make a pleasant comment, maybe about jewelry, about clothes, about makeup. So you break the ice a little bit. Or maybe don't stare at the hair either. So you don't want to outstare them and look at the eyes. So I always say, I look at the mouth, and so we give the impression, or not just the impression, is what we want to listen. So once you broke the ice a little bit, I always start off, tell me the problems you have with your hair.
Yeah.
Or you can go in a different way. You can say, what would you like to achieve? If you have really fun, I always say, you know, you have a little bit of time, close your eyes and tell me what dream hair you can imagine.
Yeah.
It brings some fun and humanity and some relaxation in here. The most important thing, the client has to open up to you and tells you the difficulties and the problems she has with her hair.
So one of the arguments that we have had previously with team members is that they felt that the system that we had for consultations was too robotic.
Oh, yes. We have described often it's too robotic. But if you look at a play.
If you look at a play.
A play, yeah. Or a musical or anything. The performers performs the same wording every day. But they'd maybe do it for 5-10, I think, Les Miserables running for 25 years.
Yeah.
So why can't they do it? And why does it make it robotic? It's the passion of the hair designers, or it's the passion of the actors. So every time they're doing it, they actually care and they listen. Why? It's not what is robotic. It's only robotic in your imagination. Why? Every answer of the client will be different.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't think and listen to the answer of the client,
yeah.
Yes, it will be robotic.
Yeah.
But it's not the questions problem or the consultations problem. It's you as an individual, a willingness to think and to listen.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that they've really got to feel it. So that when you're asking...
You have to care.
Yeah.
You really have to care. And accept, it won't always get right, but most bad things, or most what went wrong with colors or with cut, is mostly not the wrong color or the wrong haircut. It's the wrong consultation.
Yeah.
The mistakes get made in the consultation. The sad thing is, the client thinks you're a hairdresser, you know what they want.
Yeah.
And very often as hairdresser, we have the arrogance, we think we know what the client wants. And it's even mistakes what I made. I say my biggest mistakes always happened. I have a brilliant day. I do about 6-7 clients, absolutely fantastic. I'm on a high, a client comes in, I think this would suit her. I mean, my passion, enthusiasm, and I talk her into it.
Yeah.
It's not what she wanted. Once she goes home, she realized this is really not what I wanted.
Yeah.
And this is where the problem arises.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily listening to what the clients are actually saying to you.
You have to listen what the client says to you.
Yeah.
But then think and keep asking the questions and see what is a red, what is a short haircut, what is a long haircut. So You need as much information as possible.
Yeah. So is that where you would bring pictures in, so you could clarify what the client's seeing?
I would use anything. What I would use pictures.
Yeah.
As much question to really find out what she would like.
Yeah. To put you on the spot, is there a top three questions that you think are like the best consultation questions?
I think there's. Then, if you have three top questions, it becomes robotic.
Ah, okay.
So, there isn't. There's only the question what suits the individual.
Yeah.
So, the next thing I actually would say then, what we normally do, we ask the clients the permission to stand behind them.
Yeah.
Now we move the chair around and put the clients in front of the mirror. We're standing behind them. Now I ask the clients, do you mind I touch your hair?
Yeah.
Now, a lot of clients say, oh, you're a hairdresser, you have to. Yes, I'm a hairdresser, I have to. But I still think it's style and good manners to ask before I actually touch somebody's hair.
Yeah.
Remember, you're working to your standard, not to the client's standard.
No, completely. So when you touch their hair, I mean, like, what would you be doing? What are you looking for?
Then I would say, if I was sitting down, I would have a slight glance on the body shape.
Yeah.
I would know the height. I would have a look how the shoulders are. You see, sometimes swimmers have quite broad shoulders. Some people have quite a bit heavy backs. So you got an idea of the body shape.
Yeah.
Now, once I stand up, very gently, I take the hair off the face and actually see under face shapes.
Yeah. So how important is a face shape to the cut and design?
Again, it is balance. I always say, what is style? Style is balance.
Yeah.
Everything has to balance. If you have, say, somebody, God forbid, somebody with a very square face and you cut that square bob, she will look like you have a box on the top of your head.
Yeah.
It is actually a guidance. I think the face shapes is fantastic. Why? But once you explain to them what would suit them and how it would all balance, first, it gives you a tremendous amount of professionalism. You don't work on wishful thinking. You're working on reality. And if the client would like something, what it wouldn't actually suits her, if you explain to the client why, they're very willing, actually, to listen to you. But you look like an expert. You look like a consultant. And I think to do really well in hairdressing, to earn really good money, you have to be a consultant. You have to be able to talk to the client, explain why you do something, how it would work. It doesn't only work for the haircut. It will work actually for the colors. Right? With different colors, you can bring different areas out. You can make the eyes bigger. You maybe cover up if the hair is long, certain amounts on its skin. If your shoulders are too wide, and you cut the hair too short or too much of a line on the shoulder, it can make it look very boxy. So the variety is really endless. So I would say to make you a consultant, you have to be able to explain the face shapes. Even if you find it to beginning difficult, just keep going. And also more like anything, you learn a dance. In the beginning, the steps are quite difficult. But the more you do it, the more it flows. And the more it flows, actually it easier become. And you become the choice. It becomes joyful. It becomes playful. And to be a consultant, anything what you want to do, it should be easy and playful. But to get it easy and playful, I'm sorry, it's sometimes just hard work.
Yeah, so you've actually got to do it continuously.
You'd have to do it continuously. And then it becomes like, you know, you do your driving test. And you learn to drive, but then really, once you pass the test, you start to learn it. And you know how to drive, and a lot of the action become quite automatic. You do it without thinking. And this is the state you want to achieve. You do all the right thing and you actually, it just flows. But this needs quite a bit of practice and just consistently doing it. Sometimes it will go wrong, but the more you do it, the better you get. And the more a consultant you will become.
Yeah. So when we say consultant, what we're really talking about as well is the amount that you can actually charge for a cut and design.
Is the amount you could be able to charge.
Yeah.
As it says, you have to, you know, you go to your doctor, he doesn't look at you, he maybe just asks you some question, he gives you some pills. If you go to a consultant for a half, he gives you the handshake, he sits with you, he's brought at least a half hour. But then again, he charged probably £300 for the half hour.
Yeah.
And this is the type of professionalism what we want to achieve.
So the consultation gives value?
The consultation that gives you the most value.
Yeah. How important is it to start talking about future appointments in the consultation?
I would say is once you're halfway through, or even in the beginning of the consultation, you have to think, you want this client coming in 6 weeks again. Well, I think statistically now, the client's coming in about every 12, 13 weeks.
I think it's higher than that.
It's even higher than this.
It's about 16, 17 weeks.
Funny enough, I had a client yesterday. The last time she had a haircut was last Christmas.
Oh, wow.
So you have them once a week. So if you want to bring it down, you have to look at what you do. Like the clients goes to the cinema. You sit in the cinema and you see all the highlights, what you get next week or in 2 weeks.
So the trailers.
It's the trailers, yeah.
Yeah. Now, something to look forward to.
Something to look forward to. You're doing a haircut. Now you talk to the client. What we're just now is before Christmas. But I would say in about 6 weeks, well, let's concentrate on 6 weeks. So it's really up to you to build the trailer up good enough for them to be back in 6 weeks. You can explain to the client, this sits perfectly now, it's brilliant, but then next time, spring is coming, winter is coming, I maybe let it grow slightly longer, slightly shorter, and create a picture in the client's mind what you'll be able to achieve. Tell them, now, your fringe, I keep it long, it only will last you about 4 weeks. As we are doing our salons with a complimentary fringe trim, coming in 4 weeks, I trim the fringe, but after 6 weeks, the whole hairstyle will slowly collapse. So I book it in for 6 weeks. And you know what? Just to make it a bit exciting is maybe do maybe a little bit of color placement, maybe redo the colors. Whatever your client is, build a picture or a reason for them to come back to you.
Yeah.
The worst thing, what we most of our time do when we're older, the danger is we do the clients and the only topic we're talking about is ourselves.
Yeah.
And quite truly, the clients tolerates you, but she doesn't want to upset you. But if she upsets you, she worries you do a bad haircut.
Yeah.
So she listens to you. But what the client really wants to talk about it is about herself, about her and what she would like to plan to do with your hair. So forget talking about yourself. Sometimes you find the client asks you a question about yourself, answer them, but then go back to her.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic. You pay for a psychiatric session for an hour. You pay about £500. So... yeah, don't get the client to feel she has to pay. You have to pay her for her listen to you.
Yeah.
Stop talking about yourself.
So, because the client's paying for your time and your expertise, really.
Not about your stories, about different incidents, what happened in your life.
Yeah. So that's even more important for a young hairdresser starting out, to really put their focus on the client.
I think very often we're talking about ourselves is actually to get sympathy from the client. I hope the client loves me if I tell him story about myself. It's sometimes a weakness, but you have to go to the steps. You got to do the steps to be professional. And to be professional, you have to take the conversation to her.
Yeah. What, so when you're saying that, so the client's back in your chair, you're cutting the hair. So rather than talking about yourself, what, and you should be focusing on the client and talking about their hair, what kind of things should you be saying to the client?
First, I would explain to the client why I cut the hair again, where I cut it, and how the hair will fall.
Yeah.
I don't need to do a step-by-step on every cut what I do explaining to her, but I give her a guidance, especially if I undercut or I do something slightly different. Why should the client go to somebody else and they're lifting the hair up and say, oh my God, what's happened here? So the client knows what actually happened. You did an undercut and you explained it to her.
Yeah.
If you don't explain it, the client says, oh my God, what did she do?
Yeah.
So it makes you look bad. But if you explain it to the client, the designer say, oh my God, what you did, it makes actually this designer less professional.
Yeah.
So always explain to the client what you do. The next thing what you should explain, if you use any products, how to put the products on and how much you put the product on. So I had incidents, a client came to me and said to me, this product is absolutely rubbish. And I said, okay, show me, how much did you put on? It was about 10 times the amount of product what she put on, what she should have put on.
Yeah.
But it's not her fault, it's my fault.
Yeah.
I should have explained it much, much better.
Yeah.
So you show the client how much to put on, how to put it in the hair, how to distribute it, this is what you talk about it. So it gives you professionalism. Then, once you've done this, you start blow drying. If you really do well, show them where how the hair falls, how to blow dry, and have the courage to put the dryer in the client's hand and say, look, I show you how you can do it at home. This client will come back to you when she sees the professional and the passion in you.
Yeah.
And we're working very, very hard, I think, to be as average as possible.
Yeah.
We could use the same effort to be brilliant and to be geniuses, but we just haven't got the courage. And I see it so often. It's a pack mentality. I don't want to stand out.
Yeah.
So if you really want to be a designer, be great or move. Do everything what it needs for you to be successful. Forget what's going on around you.
Yeah. So really focus in on the client.
On the clients, yeah.
And then how do you invite the client back? So once you've looked after them, how do you get them to come back?
As I say, you did a very exciting thriller before.
The trailer.
And as you say, you go to the cinema, you see the trailer. Wow, I got to see this. And this is how the client should feel when she goes out.
Yeah.
And the next thing I would say, if possible, book the next appointment so long the client is in the chair.
Yeah, so not at the reception desk. Whilst not on the reception desk.
Why she's still in the chair. Well, then this gives you the ability to book it and you're in control. And you could maybe say, oh, I do something special. I need a little bit of extra time. And this is all part of the trailer.
Yeah.
And then make sure this booked. But once you're finished, the client will love her hair so much.
Yeah.
She wants to go out. She wants to see her friends. And mentally, the minute she's in a reception, she's not there anymore.
In the sense that they've left.
They left, yeah.
Yeah.
So the same thing is our reception to is there any product you like or anything you like to take home?
Yeah.
It's really too late.
Yeah.
Any retail should be done in a chair where you explain to her, you need this, you need this, you need this, you need spray, you need mousses, or whatever it is. Do it on the chair, bring it over, get your assistants maybe to bring it over to you. This is where all the action happens. The minute it's in the reception, as I say, the client wants to pay, she wants to go out, meet her friends, do the shopping, you lost her.
Mm.
So this is just basic rules for you to make the client come back.
Yeah. So there's a lot of really good information there about how to be a successful hairdresser on the shop floor. more looking at the client care side of thing. So if a client, if a hairdresser comes in, they look at their column of the day, is there anything they can do to prepare themselves for the clients that they've got coming in?
Yeah, I think for yourself, for your self-respect and for your success, you come in, make sure all your scissors, your brushes, and everything are in working order. Do you look the part? If you look at yourself, do you look like somebody, you know what, I had this amazing conversation yesterday, and it's just by chance. You know, I said, when you come into the salon, it's a little bit like you're going out very often. You go out to a party and things like this. You want to attract people, so you look really good. Now, you're in the salon, you want to attract clients.
Yeah.
What is the difference?
Yeah.
In a way, you're selling yourself. You're your shop window. You know, you're going out, you maybe want to attract a partner. So you really look good. Now, when you're in the business or in the salon, you want to attract clients. You should be looking good.
Yeah.
The client feels more comfortable if she goes to somebody who looked the part.
Yeah. I think the main thing is, like, ideally, your hair should look the part, shouldn't
your
it?
Your hair should... You should look professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the way... It doesn't need to be expensive dress, but it should be clean, tidy, and you should be maybe a little bit quirky.
Yeah.
Be individual, be yourself. Then make sure all the... everything you need is there, and then check your appointments. The minute you know, you can maybe have 8 appointments or you have 2 appointments.
So 8 clients or 2 clients?
Yeah. So now it's up to you. If you have 8 clients, organise yourself. Go through everything. If these clients were you done before, think about what could I do a little bit different? How can I make it more exciting? If it is completely new clients, you have in your armour, you have the 5 steps, you have all the consultation techniques. Go through the colours, if they already had colours, look at the season or the times. Can you make it slightly lighter, maybe slightly darker? Is it Christmas? Always put some extra red on your Christmas. Don't do it in a feeling it is a pressure on you or it is work. Make fun out of it. Say, oh, wow, today I'm free, I will do this.
Yeah.
Just make it in a funny and in a exciting way.
So it's to give yourself like mini wins every day.
Give yourself like mini wins, yeah. Yes. This really is it. Don't look work as, oh, I got to do this again, I have to do this again. If you're stuck in something like this, it's maybe your fault. If you do the same haircut, maybe your consultation with the clients or the time you spend with the client is just not enough, or you just don't pay enough attention. Yeah, nothing should be repetitive. Right? It's not the client that is boring. Very often it's we were boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's too many other things on our mind, or we just don't give the client the attention what they deserve.
So if a hairdresser is stuck in a rut, what should they do if they find that they're completely being repetitive?
Yeah, it happens to all of us. We get blind to a client, right? We've done the face shave, we've done the 5 steps, we shower everything, and then we maybe think, oh, I'm a bit stuck with this.
Yeah.
Get one of your colleagues and do a joint consultation.
Yeah.
Very often, a joint consultation is looked at as a weakness. But I think it's a tremendous strength.
Yeah.
The ability to share and support each other is a superpower. But it takes 2. It needs a... You have to have it in your heart to share, and you have to have it in your heart to accept it.
Yeah.
Even if the person will say, oh, we could do this and this, you maybe think, oh, I don't think I should do this, but there's maybe something little bit in there.
Yeah.
What I could work on it.
Yeah, completely.
So you do a slight change.
Yeah. Because the thing is, you think how many hundreds of years is combined together with the expertise of one salon. Yeah. So and it's always encouraged, isn't it? If you are stuck, to get a fresh pair of eyes.
To share, yeah.
Yeah.
And this sometimes helps you to overcome something.
Yeah.
You know, the person you speak to maybe thinks, say something, you think, oh, bloody hell, this maybe doesn't really work. But you said, think about it.
Unfortunately, you know, sometimes things will go wrong and you will get a client complaint. How do you handle that?
First, I would say, let them complain or accept their complaint.
In the terms of let them talk?
Let them talk, yeah. And whatever you think, how well you did it, or how perfect the colour, cut, perm, or anything you did is, and the client's perspective is not right.
Yeah.
So let them talk. Let it get all out. And then once everything is out, you can start building up again. Now, there's sometimes two choices. Sometimes they don't want the same designer to do it again, so we have one or two designers who actually would deal with it, or really put a plan together where you want to go with it and see if you can get an agreement with the client. If they want the money back, I actually always would refund the money. Why? You sometimes find this, or you've been conned, or you've been things like this. But remember, from all the clients you have, is a very, very, very small percentage. And quite truly, for your own sake, it's not worth the aggravation.
No.
So do it. But if there's a way back on the way to repair it and to make it better in her eyes, I think it's well worth the time spent on it and just work with it. But before anything, let it get it all out, what she wants to say. And then I will say now, okay, what can we do now? What is our way forward?
Yeah.
I can recommend this, but you have to be willing to accept it.
Yeah, I think sometimes people think they're going to have a fight on their hands, but we just don't do that, do
no,
we?
No, don't fight. It's just not worth it. If somebody is unpleasant, aggressive, then I would say, naturally, you would have refunded the money already. And I would say, please leave the salon. We don't have anybody being unpleasant to you. But if there's a way we can work together, we can work it through, brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's a learning experience. And quite truly, sometimes, and we didn't have it a lot long ago, one of my younger designers has a complaint. I went through the old appointment she had. Before, she had about 6-7 appointments before, but she had always very experienced designers. Their price range was between £50 and £70, and she has a brand new designer on the floor, and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But now, the benefit of it, I know already, part of my education, what I will do in the new year, it will include this haircut.
Yeah.
So, as dramatic and difficult it is at the time, but really, really look at it, wow, this is the education I will do. And to a certain extent, the designers actually see now, wow, I need extra education.
Yeah.
Somebody complained about the colour, and actually we had a new colour program to deal with it.
Yeah.
So as difficult a complaint is at the time, but if you deal with it worthwhile, there are lots of benefits. The only danger sometimes is you get a group loyalty of some of the designers who then maybe get very defensive. But this is something you have to overcome to make it a learning experience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our colour consultation pads actually came from a colour complaint.
Come from a colour complaint,
so that we could actually lay out in front of the client exactly what was going to be able to achieve.
Yeah. So I think it's always a try to learn out of bad things.
Yeah, yeah. Is there, when you were a new designer on the shop floor, was there any advice that you were given? And do you remember who it was by? You know, anything that you took with you?
I think the best advice is once you decided what salon you wanted to work with, what team you wanted to work with. Now, I think we go back a little bit further. Don't expect to come in the salon where it's perfect.
Yeah.
You come into the salon where you're prepared to work with the rest of the team to make it perfect. So this is a decision you have to make. There's no perfect salon for each individual, but there's a lot of individual who can work together to make it the perfect salon. So this is the first thing. Be part of the salon and make it perfect.
Yeah.
Don't wait, as I say, my ship will come in.
Yeah.
Swim out to the ship and make it happen.
Yeah.
So don't, you're not helpless. You're individual with tremendous strengths. Go out.
So you've got to make it happen.
You have to make it happen.
Yeah.
And as a team, you have to make it happen. So go out and be part of it. Now, you started off, you won't be as busy, but there will be designers who are busy. So there again, have a look. What makes them busy?
Yeah.
See what is their strengths.
So the busy designer on the shop floor?
Busy designers on the shop floor.
Yeah.
Watch them. See what they do.
Yeah.
Copy them.
Yeah.
But most what we learn is really nothing new to a certain extent. It's what we copied from other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think most of the things, my knowledge is copied out of books, out of different courses I went made.
Yeah.
To just copy it.
Yeah.
It saves you so much time.
Yeah.
You know, it's no need to invent the wheel again.
No.
Just copy the things they do. But being able to do this, you got to watch them.
Yeah.
You know, if you sit out in the staff room, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's a waste of, you spend the time in the salon, you should be working, be educated or educate yourself.
Yeah.
If you do this, there's no limit to you.
No.
So watch the people who are busy, see what they're doing and copy it.
Yeah.
And then after time, the most important thing, improve it.
Yeah.
But again, you're human, you have able to think. And so whatever you do, look at it and think, how could I do it better?
Yeah.
Just little touches. What could I do better? So if you do this, and naturally you're out there, support the team members. You say maybe, oh, they maybe need some extra highlights, bleach. They maybe need somebody to gown up. Somebody needs to be shampooed. They maybe need some other type of help. And you know what? Sometimes it's for a designer very nice. There's somebody there who actually watched him and say, oh, I love what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, this creates a tremendous atmosphere.
Yeah.
The only thing what's happening out in the back, you may be gossip. So be out in the salon, learn.
Yeah.
And then if you see somebody else, maybe you could give them some education, support them.
Yeah. Is creativity a big part of being a hairdresser?
Yes. But creativity stems from an amazing and a very strong basic knowledge of everything you do.
When you say, so we have our... we have our classic haircuts.
Yeah.
So is that what you mean? The foundations of the classic haircuts. So you've got to learn how to do them before you can adapt them.
Yeah. I would say you have to understand the classic haircuts. We have our classic short haircuts, classic bobs, classic long haircuts. Once you understand them and you know how to work this, but to do the classic, you have to follow rules. To be creative, you break the rules.
Mm.
But you only can break the rules if you understand the rules, how to break them.
Yeah.
So on a strong basis of classics, you'll be able to creative. I sometimes find one of my haircuts goes wrong. And then I look at it and think, wow, I can change it round. And maybe cut some, you know, we always say the crown area should be long enough. But I have one designer who cuts the crown area quite short, and her work is outstanding.
Yeah.
I have one designer who, she just perms me blue rollers. It never works for me. Yeah. I do exactly the same. She's outstanding. So rules are there to be broken so long it works on this on a strong basis.
Yeah.
If you have no rules, yes, you have the talent. You may be a very good designer and finisher, but the minute the client goes home, she won't be able to recreate it.
Yeah.
But if it is created on a strong basis, and the most important thing, we're going back to the consultation again, you explain to the client what you do and how you do it, then again you can break the rules and the client is happy with it.
Yeah.
So I do quite a lot of restructured fireflies.
Yeah. So what is a firefly?
A firefly is really old Sassoon's haircut, but it's a short wedge.
Yeah.
But mir all undercutted now. Me cut the crown, matte shoulder, cut the top shoulder. But the basic, it was a firefly.
Yeah.
So, and you get fun out of it. But the main rules is explain it to the client.
Yeah.
Why you do it, why you take short different section, and how for her or him to look after it to make it creative and funky and sexy looking.
Yeah.
Right? I always say, to be creative, you have to be relaxed. I always say, in the olden days, when did we start painting? We didn't start painting when we were out in the wilderness and the dinosaurs could get us. So, but the minute we had our own cave and we had a front door and we had our fences round and we had our little garden, we were sitting around the fire, we relaxed and think, oh, wow, what could we do now? We're looking up to the ceiling and think, wow, I could paint the ceiling. So this is actually how the Sistine Chapel came to be created. Somebody lying there, how can I be more creative? Probably was Michelangelo's. But in the cave paintings, we have time, we can do stuff, we can be creative. When we didn't worry about the saber-toothed tiger will come and eat us. So I'm so more relaxed and so more comfortable you are. And so more, you need your team around you. Why? You can maybe ask, we're thinking of doing this. And the team say, wow, yes, do it. You can maybe practice a little bit before. But creativity is really a security of your ability and to expand it.
Do you think you're still excited now as you were when you first started?
I have some amazing designers in. And, no, I can't say Sarah, Kelly, Liz, Jenny. There's so many of them. Emily, Emma, and Catherine. And you watch them and think, it's wonderful what they do.
Yeah. Wasn't there something with Liz when she was doing a haircut and you were basically doing the same haircut next to her?
Yeah, quite often. I pick somebody and she's doing the haircut and I slyly and secretly I follow the haircut behind it. It's outstanding. And this is poor joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's poor joy. So, yes, this actually you'd be able to be creative.
Yeah. Just before we finish the podcast, could you tell everybody about your last day at Sassoon's?
I would say,
not because it was a grand last day,
No.
What happened to the client?
One of my haircuts went completely wrong.
So why was that? Do you know?
Again, bad consultation.
Yeah.
The haircut just went wrong.
Yeah.
And so a team member came over to me. And it was my last haircut, so there wouldn't be any consequences or anything. But one of my team, and this is what actually is what a real team member is. This is respect. A team member came over to me and said, Otto, you can't let this haircut go out. It was not the manager. It was, again, the other team member had nothing to do except he was concerned for my work and the respect everybody has to my work. So he said to me, I do your next lady and you recut the hair.
Yeah.
And this is real friendship, and he sticks out more than anybody else that ever worked for me or who I worked together. He was concerned about the standard of my work.
Yeah.
So he said, I do your next haircut, recut it again. You cannot let the client go out like this.
Yeah.
And this ability, and this gives you, if you be able to do this, this means you're in an incredible winning team.
Yeah.
Somebody who cares about your standard of your work. It's wonderful. Yeah. And I never forgotten this.
And that's a wrap. Thank you for tuning in to the Feel Good Hairdressing Podcast. We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a fabulous review on your favourite podcast platform. Your support means the world to us, and it helps others discover the joy of great hair days. We would love to connect with you. Visit us at www.feel-goodhairdressing.co.uk or follow us on social media at feel_good_hairdressing. Share your favourite moments, hairstyle wins, or even your burning questions. We really want to hear from you. Remember, the magic doesn't end here. Every day is a chance to embrace your brilliance, and we'll be right here cheering you on. Bye.